right, it's wonderful to see you all here today. There's a saying they have in Myanmar. It goes like this, Mingalabar. Okay? And that means hello. So I'm going to say Mingalabar and then you say it back. Ready? Mingalabar. All right, good. We've spoke some Burmese today. All right. Okay, so yes, I bring you greetings from Myanmar. Just got back this morning at 8:35. So hey. Had a few travel issues with our group coming back. There's a typhoon that went through Taiwan right over the top of the airport. So they decided to maybe hold back their flights a little bit. And I'm kind of thankful for that. But it did get us in a little bit later than what we had planned. And so today's sermon time is kind of a little bit different. It's going to be involving some readings from Matthew chapter 20. It's going to involve some songs and some reflections on the importance of that vineyard or story of the vineyard. But before we do that, we have a special treat. The group that is there right now, which consists of six teachers, Brian Levitt from Lobster Valley, our own Leon Haight, Colleen Bush, Tom Bristol, Jennifer and Lindsay House from Corvallis, they're there now. And it's kind of interesting, our flights overlapped by about an hour. So when they were coming into the Yangon airport, our team was there ready to leave on the same plane going to Taipei. But we couldn't be together because the security wall. So, but we did get a picture, them on one side of the glass and our team on the other side. So if you go to the Facebook page, you can see that. It's kind of a neat picture. But it's a good illustration of the fact that this work is like passing the baton to another team. And literally, we were passing off students that we grew to love and know off to others who are going to continue that teaching. And so they sent a video this morning of some time that they're having in worship, and we're going to play that. It's only about 2 minutes. So take a look at the worship there at the church in Myanmar. That is a, a little taste of what it's like there to be in that little house church that meets at Esther's house there in Yangon. It really is a neat experience. And you know, our church has made a multi-year commitment to going back there and serving and helping with this WEI campaign. And my hope and prayer is that there'll be at least 50 people from Kaiser that have been in that house worshiping 8,000 miles away from here and helping spread the gospel in that area. So keep them in your prayers. This third team that's there is picking up where Tamara and Don and Donna and the Haineses passed it off to the second team, and now we've passed off to the third team. They're kind of finishing across the finish line with these students. And these students are at various stages of their studies. Some of them are pretty advanced. Others have just barely started. And Susie Young, who's not here today, she had to go home and sleep, so she's there. And some of you may be thinking, you should have done that too, Darren, because we can't understand what you're saying. But anyway, she had a wonderful experience of teaching someone how to pray that had never, ever prayed to God before. And I'm sure she'll be glad to share that with you. But wonderful experiences there. Some are at the very beginning, others are quite advanced. So, when it looked like I wasn't going to be here today, last night, I wrote up kind of a script or a way of working through Matthew chapter 20, because that was the passage I was going to look at. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to continue with that kind of script where we'll have some readings, we'll have some prayer, and some songs interspersed as we work through this material today, thinking about this idea of the laborers in the vineyard. So let's look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. This passage of Scripture, Jesus tells a story that describes a common scene in the ancient world of the day laborers hired to do a good day's work. But this story is very different because it turns the economic assumptions on their head. In doing so, Jesus teaches His disciples and us something very important about the kingdom of God and about God's generosity and about our role as workers in the kingdom. Let us read the Word of God. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You, go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour, in the ninth hour he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. This parable fits well into our series this summer on agricultural themes from the teachings of Jesus. If there's anything that's true about summertime and around here, it's that you have these special jobs, right? Working in the fields, picking berries, picking strawberries, bucking hay, doing interesting things in the summer that have to do with bringing in the harvest or getting ready for the harvest that will come a little bit later in the early fall. And as a teenager, of course, you learn about summer work. How many of you ever had a summer job when you were a kid, working out in the fields doing something? Okay, lots of people. It used to be pretty standard, right? You go pick the berries, you go pick the blueberries. In my case, growing up north, I picked bulbs in the summer, the flower bulbs. You dig through them like some kid playing in the dirt, which is what we were, right? And you would put the bulbs in the bucket and somebody would come and take them and they'd recycle them and they'd come back the next year. And so you do that kind of thing and you learn a lot about work as a teenager working in the fields. My parents wanted me to do that because I would learn the difference between getting paid by the hour and getting paid by the piece. Okay? Now, in the bulb fields, they paid you by the foot. Okay? And you had to get all the bulbs out, you know, by the foot. Okay? And then somebody would come behind and see if you didn't get all the bulbs. And if you didn't, you'd have to start back again. And once you finished that 200-foot row, then they would pay you for what you dug up. They didn't pay by the hour. Because there were too many kids that were 12 and 13-year-olds sitting there doing nothing, throwing bulbs at people, right? And other people were working hard. So you learn something about getting paid by the hour, paid by the piece, and then salary. What's that? You know, that's way out there for a teenager, right? But eventually you get to figure that out. And this parable touches on those kinds of economic realities. And as we read this parable, we realize that these workers that started early in the morning and got paid the same as somebody who came the very last of the day, they have something to gripe about in the worldly system. Because we all know, and we learned pretty early on, that if you work longer, you should get paid more. We also learn that those who are first in this world are the rich, the powerful, the good-looking, the handsome, the talented. But in God's kingdom, we learn some different things. We learn that God is gracious and good to whomever He wants to be good to. And especially He has a heart for the poor, the weak, the downtrodden, the ugly, the unappealing, the outcast. They're all called to God at every hour of the day to come and work. He is no respecter of persons. And so this story begins by telling us something about the kingdom of God. It's different than the kingdoms of the world. God's kingdom functions in kind of an upside-down way. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Those that the world appreciates and holds up, God doesn't care about those things. He cares about the heart. He cares about people seeking Him, not about those worldly trappings. And so this morning, let us pause and thank God for His kingdom, which is different than the kingdoms of the world, that's based on so many superficial things. So let's pray now and thank God for His kingdom. Father, we come before You this morning. We are thankful for what this parable teaches us about Your kingdom, that You care about everyone, even those who haven't had a lot of experience and are hired later on, or people who come late to the game. You care about everybody. You want everyone in Your kingdom, and You want everyone to come unto You. We thank You, Lord, that You teach us that Your kingdom is not just for strong, but also for the weak. We thank You that Your kingdom is not for the rich, but for everyone, the poor. Thank You that it's not just for people of certain classes or races or ethnicities, but it's for all the world, that there's no boundaries and no borders in Your kingdom. We are so grateful for that, Lord. And we are thankful that we've been called into this kingdom. And we pray that we will be people who seek first Your kingdom and its righteousness. That we will not find ourselves seeking the kingdoms of the world and attending to them more than we attend to Your kingdom. Father, help us though, because these other kingdoms are so attractive. They appeal to our sinful, fleshly side. May we be devoted to Your heavenly kingdom. It's in Christ that I pray. Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sing Alleluia, Alleluia. Ask and it shall be seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by from the mouth of God. singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Another powerful thing that this parable teaches us comes in chapter 20, verse 15. The owner of the field says, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" It is very clear that the master of the vineyard is God, and that He is calling everyone to go work in His vineyard. The pay that He offers, no matter how long we work, no matter what our job is, far exceeds the value of the work that we actually do. We find in this story the grace and generosity of God. God has graciously and lovingly decided that He will forgive all people by the blood of His Son on the cross of Calvary. His nature has always been to forgive and to draw people to Himself, and it comes into sharp focus in the life of Jesus. Psalm 103, we read a few weeks ago. I remember Don read this, but it powerfully speaks to God's generosity, His love that was evident in the Old Covenant, but as I said, comes into sharp focus in the life of Jesus. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." And you know, this idea of the generosity of God, the grace of God, we get so used to. We get so used to it. And it's only when you kind of come up to other systems of saving yourself that you realize how awesome this really is. And the other day, as I was having my final session with one of the very bright students that was in this program, who is a very devout Buddhist, and the night before we had a kind of a party, and part of that party was that we sang The Greatest Commands, that beautiful song about the love of God. And Jesus is Lord. One of our colleagues noticed that he was mouthing those words and listening very carefully, and he wondered whether something was happening to his heart. And the next day, as we were talking about Buddhism and Christianity, I asked him, I said, "Do you see the differences between these two religions?" And he wanted to emphasize the things that are similar, but I kept pushing him to say, "Well, what are the differences?" And at the end of the day, he had to recognize that in Buddhism, there is no savior. You save yourself. There is only one way to escape the cycle of reincarnation. It is to be good enough and eventually meditate enough, and then you will one day escape this cycle. Buddha's not going to do it for you. There is no one else. And he said, I don't mean to be disrespectful of your religion, but I don't understand how it is that the death of one man can take away the sins of the entire world. He can't comprehend it. And the answer is simply this: he was not just any man. He was the God-man. And the God-man loves us with abounding love, steadfast mercy. And he has a heart that desires to forgive all who would come to him. Because he remembers how we are made. He knows that we are dust, and he knows that we cannot do this on our own. So let us this morning thank God that we have such a Savior, who is generous to us and gives us what we do not deserve. Let us stand and let us pray. Our Father, we come before you this morning, standing in honor of you, loving you and worshiping you for your great love for us, and thanking you for sending your Son to be the atoning sacrifice for sin, to take away the sins of the world, to take away my sins and every single person in this room's sins, and to bear them on his shoulders at the cross. We thank you that this sacrifice flows directly from your heart that is so generous and willing to save. We love you, and we thank you for your boundless love. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. Sing this song.
Boundless love, unending joy, this is my life, it's what I know. I can't believe that he selected me, Jesus my Lord, it's you I owe. Boundless grace, because of Calvary, his life he gave, his love outpoured. I now can live you've done, I will thank you for all that you're going to do, for all that you promised and all that you are. It's all that has carried me through. My Jesus, I thank you, and I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. I gratefully thank you. And I thank you, thank you, Lord. And I thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you, Jesus, I thank you. I gratefully thank you. Thank you.
Be seated, please.
Passage from this story, this wonderful story of the laborers in the vineyard, is that God is seeking people to work in His field. He is actively employing people to work to enhance His fields and prosper His church. There is spiritual pruning. Digging, watering, fertilizing, spraying, trimming, harvesting, fixing fences, mending broken branches, and all kinds of other things to do in His fields. Many are working. Many are already in the field. But also many are standing around idle. You know, there's this phrase, the master goes there, why are you here doing nothing? They say, because nobody's hired us. Well, I'll hire you. I'll send you into my field. And this story should spark in us a desire to work for the Lord in His kingdom. To find some way to work. No matter what stage of life you're in. No matter what stage of ministry you're in. No matter what stage of spiritual growth you're in. There's something you can be doing and should be doing in the kingdom. To serve the Lord of the vineyard. One comment that somebody made, I'll just say it's my mom. Okay. She turned 69 while we were there. Okay. And somebody wrote to her a Facebook comment that said, "Oh, I'm so glad that you're doing this kind of work at your advanced stage of life." Right? It's like, thank you, I think, you know. And for her, you know, this is the first time she'd done anything like that. But you know what? That's what I like about this kind of ministry. It's never too late to get involved in doing something that stretches you and causes you to do something and use gifts that you have that maybe have been dormant. And serve. And it's not just in this ministry. There are other missions. There are other places to serve. This is just the one that's kind of highlighted today. But the point is that the Master wants everybody to work, no matter what stage of the game it is, no matter what time it is in the day. Whether it's the 6 a.m. shift, the 12 hours, the full 12 hours, or whether it's at the 9th hour, or the 3rd hour, or even the 11th hour, He wants everyone to get in and do some work for the Master. And so one of the most obvious things that this should spark in us is, am I working in the kingdom? Am I doing something to advance? Maybe just even something small. Maybe it's just inviting a friend. Maybe it's just maybe mowing the grass. Maybe it's something that it's been on your heart to do, but you haven't known whether you should step out and do it. Well, this parable would say that God is actively looking for people to work in His vineyard. So do it. And as Tim said earlier, as we read Colossians 3, when you do it, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, which was the theme for the team mission this year. And so let us pray now that God will use us individually and as a church to serve in His kingdom. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we again come before you and ask that you will impress upon us this parable. And specifically, that you will put us to work. We know, Father, that when your Son ascended to your right hand, that you then sent forth your Spirit, which showered gifts to the church. Gifts of apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists, but also many other gifts that are used by the body, that every member has a place and a purpose and a job to do. And Father, I pray that we will discover what those things are and do them to your glory, knowing that you are pleased with whatever we offer you. And some will produce 30-fold, others 60-fold, maybe even others 100-fold, but at least we're producing. And so, Father, please use us. Overcome our fears, overcome our insecurities, and help us to step out and do what you've called us to do. I pray for our congregation, Lord, that you will lead us into a season of growth, a season of powerful kingdom impact in this community, that we will see people come to you who've been lost in sin and wandering in a world, wondering who they are, and because of our ministries, they will discover who you want them to be, and that they will be called unto yourself and have eternal life with you when this life is over. Be with us, Lord, as we seek and we pursue those ministries that you've called us to. And help us as individuals to see ourselves as part of that bigger ministry. So please, Father, help us to be workers in your kingdom. It's in Christ that I pray. Amen.